Welcome to the Profit Talks podcast, hosted by the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC Network, funded in part by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. This show is the go-to resource for business owners seeking empowerment, education, and resources to succeed. Join us as we connect you with experts, share the triumphs of fellow entrepreneurs, and reveal the wealth of assistance available to you today to level up your business. So let's go. Let's dive in and learn more. Well, I always say this is the most interesting show we've ever done, but this one, certainly one that's going to catch a lot of people's attention here. So sit up, pay attention, be good, because we're talking to a real live dog trainer here. We're talking with Cassie Pestana from ClickStart Dog Training Academy right here in Lake Forest. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you.
A couple of years ago, I would have said dog trainer. Okay, it's just another business. It's the business these days. We had a dog trainer on a while ago, some dog trainer to the stars. We all see the ones on TV, the dog trainers to the stars and all stuff. Why is dog training suddenly such a hot topic here?
Well, I think the pet industry as a whole is growing.
Exploding. I've seen startling numbers. We do a thing with the Pet Expo every year that comes to the Costa Mesa Fairgrounds. And how that industry has exploded, not just food, not just toys, blankets, medicines. I'm watching on TV now, what is it, the farmer's dog, will give them a shout out here for their dog food. You know, it's not just kibble, it's more consume. I think they, what do they deliver? All of a sudden, we care about I think not all of a sudden, but it's grown to a point where pet are one of our priorities, right?
Yeah, I think we have high expectations for them. We want them to be a big part of our lives. And for, you know, the millennial generation, they're our children. They're our introduction to parenthood.
I was going to say that. Or maybe, and more kids are not having kids. So they're saying that this is my baby. This is my, this is what I'm going to take care of or something. I see more and more of that too. Yeah. Well, whatever it is, pets have always been important. I grew up with, but full disclosure, my mother ran an animal shelter when I was in suburbia as a kid. My dad was horrified. He's an executive of Chrysler. My mom's down shoveling poop and trying to get stray animals to their home. But she was just, it was a passion for her. Yeah, was it always a passion for you, helping animals and training animals? Was that?
Yeah, absolutely. I was, I fell in love with dogs at a very young age. Couldn't have one for a while. But I've just always had a soft spot for all living.
Well, you should have come to my house because we had lots of dogs, lots of cats, and my mother would do these little jailbreaks. I grew up in Michigan. Mm-hmm. I think it's still the same. Most animal shelters, they can only stay so long, and then they had to put them to sleep, the euphemism for killing them. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't hold them for very long. And so my mother would spring some of them. Oh, they escaped. And they would come to our house for a while, and then, oh, we found them again. You know, and she'd get another 7 days or something to try. I would say this proudly. Most animal shelters end up killing 75% of the pets that come in. It's very hard to find the homes. It's very hard to do it in a short period of time. My mother reversed those statistics, so she was able to place or find homes for 75% of the animals. But it's still hard. She had to put some down, and that was a down day when she'd come home. I don't think we realize the explosion in the pet population in animal shelters. I know you do some work with the Mission Viejo Animal Shelter, a wonderful animal shelter, by the way. I think it's kind of a regional one now. They handle other cities as well. And we've been there many times. My wife's volunteered there. We've taken advantage of their emergency services at night. They have an emergency clinic down there. And, wow, what a great shelter. So what do you do for the Mission Viejo Animal Shelter? Then we'll get into your whole business and background. I'm just getting some of the feel-good stuff out of the way here.
We work with some of their more difficult cases. I have a trainer who we actually compensate her for a few hours a week of volunteering there and working, again, with some of their dogs, some of their more difficult behavior cases.
Because they're not going to get adopted if they bite somebody or if they can't or if they're scared or whatever. And of course, many of these animals have been abused or neglected or whatever. And so rather than just put them down, you're saying that they put some effort into trying to rescue some of these
animals. Oh, they really do. Yeah. They have a nonprofit that compensates us for some training, some initial sessions for new adoptees if they're struggling in their new home.
Wow, there you go.
So they do everything they can, for sure.
I never heard that before. I don't think they did that in my mother's shelter back in the 70s here. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's go back to your story, because it's quite a story. I would assume you love animals, so you start, I don't know, grooming them, watching them, and it just sort of what starts as a hobby turns into a full-time gig here. But you had like some pretty heavyweight credentials before this. You casually said, told me that you went to Brown University. Go look that one up, folks. That's one of the, is that one of the Ivy League schools?
Yes, it is.
You went to an Ivy League school and studied animal behavior, what? Animal behavior?
And biology.
And biology.
Mm-hmm.
That would lead to what? Being a vet or a researcher or something?
Yeah, absolutely. That was the path, was a research scientist or a veterinary behaviorist, potentially. But I chose the route of business ownership.
And why that? When you told your parents, I'm going to Brown, they're like, hooray. And then you said, I'm going to study this. And they said, no way.
Yeah, no, I always had full freedom of my choices.
Good for them. Good for you.
Which is what we try to give to dogs as well.
Yeah.
But yes, so I studied ethology specifically, so the science of animal behavior.
Ethology. Okay, mm-hmm. Never heard that term before. I'm going to write that one down. All right.
Yeah.
And but had you, how do you even know such a thing exists? I didn't know. Brown had such a program.
Yeah, I did not know, actually. So I went to Brown. I was initially interested in environmental science. That was kind of a sad path.
Sad. Why is that a sad path?
It was just everything was pretty doom and gloom, and felt pretty hopeless.
Right. So we're burning through the atmosphere.
Yeah,
we're,
exactly. It was like, even if we stopped everything right now.
Doesn't look
20
good.
20 years. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, okay. So I got out of that and I started taking every single class that had the word animal in the title. So I studied animal physiology, animal locomotion, a lot of animal behavior classes. And that's when I discovered the canine behavior class with Dr. Caldwell.
At an Ivy League school, you're taking animal behavior classes.
Yeah, I was working at the zoo. I was, you know, studying the African wild dogs in their enclosure. I even studied abroad in South Africa.
Oh, my goodness.
Did some research with the elephants and the vervet monkeys. And
this is way more than I expected because, forgive me, mm-hmm. I think of animal trainers. I think of just, there's no real training. Somehow they just seem to have a gift for it, or they seem to like it, and they do it, and, mm-hmm. and they kind of, is there, you were saying before we started, this is becoming more of a science. I don't know that half the people I see on TV have any qualifications whatsoever other than they're passionate about animals.
Yeah, and that's usually what you'll see if you search for a dog trainer in your area. You'll look at their bio, and it's usually a lot of, you know, I grew up with dogs, and I had a dog,
dogs,
and I don't know about you, but I've had teeth my whole life, and I don't call myself a dentist.
Ooh.
I know.
Yes, good point.
So I think, yeah, I think
But why do we think anybody can, not everybody can be a dentist, but anybody can be a dog trainer. There's no certification.
Yeah, there's
tomorrow.
No regulation.
You've inspired me. I'm going to close the station. I'm going to be a dog trainer tomorrow.
You could. You could absolutely, and you could charge a lot of money for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're saying that the world has changed, that there is more and more science. At an Ivy League school, for example, they're teaching animal behavior, and not just for zookeepers or whatever you call people who work at zoos these days,
mm-hmm.
But people who have pets who are willing to invest to correct issues. They don't want them chewing through the furniture. They don't want them biting the kids. I'll tell you another story. This is probably what too many people have had this happen. My mother ran an animal shelter, very passionate towards animals.
Mm-hmm.
But before she did that, we had a dog. We went to a breeder, which is, I guess, not necessarily the brightest idea, but my parents decided they wanted a really full-bred. It was a Brittany Spaniel, an unusual breed.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog was crazy. Maybe it had been inbred or something, but it was just nuts. It snapped at everybody. It snapped at me. It bit me. Yeah. I was a little kid. It bit everyone. It bit me. They said, enough.
Yeah.
The dog disappeared. And they told me, I'm six, that Cindy, forget that. I loved Cindy, even though she bit me. That Cindy went to a farm. And for years, I pictured her running on a farm. Yeah, she went to the farm in the sky. That's where they took her. Most people don't deal with problems very well. They just give them back. And when my mother ran the animal shelter, people bring animals back. I don't want this one dog. He poops all over the place. He chews all over the place. He barks all the time. So, you know, it's not quite so easy as people think it is. And I think people just sort of turn them back in like they think it's a sweater they got on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a living creature, as my mother would say here. So what say you about all that? Are we less tolerant, or are we more willing to work and try and solve these problems before we just give the animal away or put it down?
I mean, I don't know about the entire public, but I know our clientele are very devoted individuals.
Yeah.
And, you know, they treat their pets like family, and they'll pretty much do anything they can before giving up.
in my household, I don't want to keep focusing on me, but in my household, my parents had, my mother had pictures of all our animals up on the wall. They didn't have any picture of me. I'm their only child. I'm an only child. The animals had pictures all over the world. One time I came home from college and my picture was up in a little corner. I said, finally, I made it. Wow. I'm up there in the pantheon with the really important people in the household, the animals.
And sometimes even something like euthanasia or rehoming is the most peaceful option for that animal. And it still causes a lot of grief in that family. And it's a hard decision to make.
Yeah, they had to lie to me as a little kid to pretend that they didn't want to... me to deal with the fact that this dog was going to be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we've established that we're getting more science-based in this approach. Is that what you bring to your business, Click Start Dog Training Academy here?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, every trainer we employ is certified in one way or another, but I bring everything that I've learned as far as reading the research and digesting the research and processing
and studying, and, wild animals, wild dogs, all sorts of, at a very prestigious university around the world. You've put a lot into this. You're not just coming to me because you like dogs.
Exactly. Yes. I like research more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you work with other groups? Do you work with, you said you don't work with police dogs. Is that something you want to do someday? You weren't so sure whether dogs should be doing police work. You're the first person I've ever heard say that.
Yeah, I think I just, I think it's probably an area where things will change in the future as far as their usage.
Because you're saying they can do it, but they can also be influenced. Go find this bad guy who's over there.
Yeah.
Go find the drugs that are over there. And so maybe they're not, they're reacting to the trainer more than they are to the evidence,
yes,
to their nose.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
And I think that's dangerous for them too. So it's, whether or not they should be put in those positions and what that really brings to the table is another question.
Well, canines are very popular, and my mother ran an animal shelter for the township where we live. That was at the police department. It was part of the police department there, so we knew all the canine guys and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And they would take the dogs home and became very attached and work with them. Or just same thing in the military, the ones that go out and sniff out bombs and all that kind of stuff. They become very attached to these animals. They don't just drop them off and leave them at the kennel, I don't think. They take them with them and really bond with them and develop a close relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, so not that work, but other things like service dogs and stuff for the blind and whatnot.
Yes, yes, we have a service dog trainer on the team, my co-owner, Liv Healy, and they're amazing the way that they teach these dogs to help people so much in their daily lives.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. My wife and I have always been tempted. You can sort of volunteer with the dog, and then they sort of work with him a little bit. But I don't know if I could do that. That's to see people taking him to everywhere to church,
socialize,
and get him used to walking and some basic commands and stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
But what a great program and powerful how these dogs can assist people in their daily lives, stop them from crossing.
Yeah,
the other things guide them through all this.
Yep.
All right. So all this led to a business. And how'd you meet your partner?
We met in 2015, working for another training company.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, got to be a better way.
Yep.
We can do this better.
Yep.
This is miserable.
Exactly.
But you did it virtually for a long time, right? You found it in what, 2018, 2019?
Yeah. So 2015 is when my business partner and I met. And then 2017 was when I opened Cassie's Dog Training.
Okay, well, of course, Cassie's dog training. Right. What should we call this? Cassie's dog training.
It's me. Yeah, it's mine. But that was when I realized I didn't want to give myself a job. I wanted to give myself a company that didn't rely on me being at the forefront.
And, okay.
So that was when.
So what's the difference between a job and a company? A company is something that can grow and build.
Exactly. Like my face doesn't have to be there.
Yeah.
All the time I can.
And if they don't meet Cassie, if they meet, well, let me talk to you, one of our dog trainers. No, I signed up for Cassie's dog service. I want Cassie here.
Exactly.
I don't want to be given, but that person's really good. They're better than me. In fact, no. The name is Cassie on the door. I want Cassie's.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just a personal service business here.
Yes.
Okay. But then you lose the ability to be famous, to get your own reality show, Cassie's dog show.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that we're moving with Click Start. And some of them are my own, personal growth. So,
all right. So, give us some ideas. How do you start a dog training business? Just run and put ads up on the trees around the neighborhoods here. Do you I don't know where you run ads anymore. There are no local newspapers.
Oh, so much. For, yeah.
Social media, coupons. So what? How did you get the business off the ground? Word of mouth. I know word of mouth
was huge. Yeah, in the beginning, that was everything. That was all I had because I wasn't about to put money into, you know, advertising quite yet. So I had little clients here and there that just spoke the world of me and started telling all their friends who told all their friends, and I
one,
was still
one tells two and two tells four, and after a yeah. while do it. But that's a slow way to build a business.
Yeah, it was, and that was okay because at the time I had another job. I was working at the Ocean Institute in Dana Point.
Another heavyweight place here. I was going to get that mm-hmm. in there somehow. The Ocean Institute in Dana Point.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this behavioral animal science that you had studied, you're using a variety of ways, but still in the back of your head, I'm going to do this for myself. More out of passion, or was it more to be an entrepreneur, or both? To run my own life, or to do, or because I want to do it a different way? I got something to prove of passion about this here. Or is it just a cool thing and I can do it, like owning an ice cream store or something?
No. I mean, Liv and I have joked many times that we couldn't imagine opening a business without knowing every single little thing about that business,
right.
You know? So yeah, it was a combination. I mean, I have a huge passion for animal behavior and learning theory and just teaching even other humans. You know, I love that aspect as well, because all the same rules apply. But I also am a little bit of a control freak, and I like things
well, you're
done
controlling
my way.
Dogs. Yeah, yeah. Right. This isn't serving ice cream. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is about, I've got a certain belief in how it should be done.
I have a vision, and
yeah.
I want to see it come through with no one stopping me. Yeah.
Is this, so what's the vision beyond this? The vision, first step was to get out of just driving around and doing it at somebody's house.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you open a brick-and-mortar retail place? Why was that the next step of the vision? Because everybody's closing them under the pandemic. Didn't they clue you in? Here, alert, retail's going away.
Yep. Yeah, that was a whole journey in and of itself, because we opened in 2019. Well, we established in 2019 the company of ClickStart. That
right.
was when Liv and I got together officially. And in 2020, you know, we had the big pandemic hit. So our whole business
yeah.
went from in-person to virtual. We pivoted so fast.
How can you train virtually here?
That's a whole nother
Fido, pay attention over there. Here, yeah.
Well,
can't even get the kids to
I'm
pay
sure
attention
I'm sure you've
on
heard
that.
This before. If you're listening at home and you have dogs, you've heard this before, that a lot of dog training is training the owners, the parents. So
I think it is.
Yeah.
That's what when you watch some of the TV shows, that's kind of the takeaway. Quit
mm-hmm.
doing that.
Yeah. Sometimes Zoom is almost more effective because we can't take the leash and we can't do it, so we have to walk the parents through how to do it.
Interesting.
And
okay.
so they learn a little bit better, and I know it definitely tested my skills as a trainer
rather than just here, let me take the step out of the way.
Exactly.
There, the dog did it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you do that? I didn't see that.
All
right, so pivoted to that, but still the idea of, and why would you have a brick and mortar location? I would seem like
yeah.
what do you do in the store? How big is the store? How big, tell me the parameters of the store, and what do you do in the store? You still stuff in the store, or is it just a little training room in the store?
Well, so first question you asked me why, right?
Right. Yeah,
we
why?
Wanted this space. And so
see, she's taking control already of the interview here. I'm trying to throw in three questions
telling the
at
story,
once.
Yeah. And then after, you know, regulations were lifted after the pandemic, we were working out of daycare rooms for our puppy kindergarten classes. It was hot,
puppy
it was sweaty, it was smelly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And we were working out of client homes, and we
yeah.
were meeting in parks. We have a relationship with Aliso Irvine, Lake Forest.
Parks would be illogical,
Aliso, right?
Because the dog
home.
Can run and whatnot. It's outdoors.
Yeah. So we're yeah. through. We host classes through their recreation brochures. Like we have, you know, permits to be there. So it was
that's
a
brilliant idea.
Gig.
Who thought of that one? That's a clever one to create a relationship, not just to show up at the park, but to build a relationship with the people at the park and run
exactly.
in their class, because all these parks have classes and other things they offer there.
Yeah, exactly. So we're in those brochures. People can find us that way.
Okay, that was smart.
But still, I mean, we were lugging around all this equipment in our cars. We would have to work in the rain. Everything was out of our control. And like I said, I'm a control freak. So I wanted a space of our own to just completely be able to curate a really fun and relaxing and
walk me through. So I go into the store.
So we have a little retail section at
right.
the front of the store.
Obviously.
And it just sells all of our favorite stuff. So all the stuff that we've been recommending for years, some of the stuff we're not even able to find at other stores, like the big box stores.
And what would that be? Just like special kinds
the
of leashes?
The type of harness that we use
harness,
and
okay.
recommend. Mm-hmm. So you can size it on your dog and feel it, touch it, look at it. Otherwise, it's only available online. And other kinds of puzzle toys, enrichment items, some treats and toys and things like that.
All right, so you got all this stuff there, but then is there a room? And then I go back and there's like little cones and I navigate through the cones or I jump over the
There is, yeah. We have a bunch of equipment we can set up. Right past the retail section is about a 5-foot fence. So you can see the training section right when you walk in. There's mm-hmm. a big training room. The whole facility is about 2,100 square feet.
Okay, pretty decent size. Bigger than I thought it would be. Okay.
Yeah, we decided to go with one. Well, that was something we can talk about later.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in a minute here. Why
bigger.
And how you decided to do all this. Yeah.
Yeah. In a bathroom and then a break room in the very back with a cleaning supply closet. So it's really pretty much just one big room.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And never rented a retail space before and knew nothing about finding a retail space. So what is that what led you to the SVDC here? You said, I need some help. How did you even discover that they do have some incredible people? We're going to talk about it in a minute, but how did you even know they existed and they had this resource?
We went through a lot of consultants before we found the SVDC, and a lot of them...
So-called business consultants,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Some
exactly.
probably that are really good, but may not understand the needs of what you're talking about.
Exactly. They didn't understand, and they didn't have a whole lot of faith in us. It was a lot of doubt and judgment.
Yeah.
And
I would have doubt, because I would say, you're doing well. Just stay in the park. Why mm-hmm. do you need to take on the
exactly.
monthly rent and the difficulties of running a retail location?
But even doubt as far as our name, you know, our purpose, like they were like, what does ClickStart mean? That's confusing. But they didn't have a dog and they didn't understand the concept of clicker training and how the name applied there. You know, it was like, I just think of a mouse on a computer, and they kind of shut down our whole name, everything. They said we were too young to be doing this.
You are. Yeah. I'd say all the same things here. You're too young. You don't need a retail store. You don't need all this stuff. You got to put up a deposit. You got to pay first month's rent. Mm-hmm. You got to sign a lease for a certain period of time. Then you got to do improvements to the building and inside. And
yep.
Oh my goodness, this is a big.
It was
deal.
An endeavor. It was a big one. And then one of our clients actually opened a yoga studio in Mission Viejo,
mm-hmm.
and they knew our dreams and our goals, and they told us that Carrie Armstrong was the one to help.
Well, Carrie Armstrong is the one to help, not just because she's really good at this and been doing it a real long time. She used to run leasing at the Brea Mall, giant Brea Mall. She was on the mall side. So if somebody understands the ins and outs of leasing a space and what's required and what costs and mm-hmm. how to negotiate and what do you do, go talk to her. And she happens to be an SVDC consultant here. I forgot which center she works out of. But we did an interview with her, folks. So go backwards in the series of Profit Talks and listen to Carrie Armstrong. I was blown away. Again, I'm always amazed at the level of people. I don't know, what would you call it? The level of skill, the level of expertise. These aren't people that just, last week I was doing something else, this week I'll be a business consultant or something.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of those out there.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who've had, full disclosure, I do ones for podcasts. So if you ever want to talk about, I have this full-blown studio and station, but sometimes I do help people with their podcasts. What they pay me a lot of money for in private, that you get basically for free from the SVDC.
Yeah.
That's the amazing thing. All right, so what did Carrie tell you? She bought into this dream, huh?
She was supportive from the very beginning. I think she saw Liv and my drive, you know, our persistence, our determination, our work ethic.
It's a lot of that.
Yeah, and she immediately bought in and hit the ground running with us.
And did you work through a broker? Did you just drive around? How'd you find a space?
We had a broker, yeah.
And the broker...
We went through two.
and what kind of space? Initially, you're thinking small as possible, right?
Yeah, we looked at a space. It was also in Lake Forest, and we almost signed the papers, but it was way too small. And it was a nicer price, but we realized that we'd be paying a nicer price for something that we couldn't use enough to maybe even pay for it.
Because
so.
I would think the retail, if you're going to be in retail, then be in retail. People, if I buy into your program and I like you, then I'm going to listen. Where do I get the dog food? Where do I get the collars? Where do I get, I don't know what all the things are.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say go online, or you could sell them yourself, and that helps pay for the location.
Yeah, even aside from having the little retail section in the front, there wasn't enough room to train dogs. It would have been, you know, two in a group class instead of the six we can host now.
So. And is that what you do? So people sign up for class for what, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 4 weeks, a couple weeks, something there?
We're known for our group classes. We have a bunch of different options. They go from kindergarten to elementary school, middle school, high school, college.
Nightmare. I'm going to bring in a bunch of barking dogs and they're going to just chase each other and bite each other and bark at each other here or something.
Ew, yep, pretty much. No, but once they come in, we help them work through all of those things. So
socialize them, yeah. Because that's one of the biggest problems. I see people walk their dogs through our neighborhood, all these neighborhoods. The dogs go berserk every time they see another dog or another human being or a kid. And then what do you always say to people? This is, I'll tell you what my mother said, then you tell me what you said. Dogs that rush towards you, don't immediately stick your hand and say, oh, what a cute little dog. You know, ask the owner, is this okay, whatever. And then she always used to put her fist forward. Uh-huh. So if the dog tried to bite her, it was harder to get their mouth around the fist than it was your little finger.
Little fingers. Yeah, there's that's all changing now, too. I think it used to be, you know, give them a hand to sniff.
Right, but always, yeah.
Now it's... you know, get low, turn away, let them come sniff you, and you can touch them when they actually look like they want to be touched.
Oh, interesting.
A lot of times dogs come in to sniff, you know, just to get information. It doesn't mean that they want to be pet, so we wait for that.
And that's how they judge, you know, they smell other things, fear or anger or whatever sorts of things are there. They're responsive to those things more than we are. The famous Cheech and Chong thing I grew up with, or the two dogs sniff each other here. There's all these classy things. So the idea was, yeah, they got to come sniff you first, and then you can get, but you're doing it a different way. I never heard of that before.
Yeah.
Okay. See, there's new science out there, folks. There's new things. All right. And give me the typical case study if somebody comes in. Are these people, I can think of many examples where people would need you. For example, I'll give you, I'm living my own life here. So my next door neighbor, for years, they both worked. Thank God they moved. But they had a big German Shepherd. And that dog hated sitting outside. They wouldn't leave him inside, so the dog sat outdoor. What do you think the dog did all the time?
Bark all day.
Bark, bark all day. And I talked to him about it. They said, yeah, we don't think he likes staying outside. Well, okay, then why do you have a big dog if you're both going to work in this tiny little, you know, house with a tiny little yard? And I said, isn't there something we can do? Because I was home a lot in those days. And I said, can I walk him? Can I do something? Just... What do you tell people who are so many people like that? I want to have a dog, but what do I do with them all day?
It's hard because, again, those aren't the people that hire us. You know, we get the people that want to do everything they can for their dogs, not just stick them in the backyard all day. So it's hard because I often don't get the chance to talk to those people. But I think a little bit of what we call enrichment goes a long way. You know, these dogs sometimes live very, very boring lives. A lot of don't do this, don't do that, don't dig, don't bark, don't jump, don't bite,
chew.
Don't chew. Yeah, exactly. And they have a lot of, you know, dogs are born dogs. They're born with natural behaviors, canine needs, the need to dig, the need to chew. And so if we can provide them with those opportunities, they often live much mentally healthy lives.
And then is it just the classic, you know, training the dog to sit and stay and follow me and do some people want to do all that too?
Yeah, so, those are the easy ones where they're like, hey, my dog's great and I just want to learn how to talk to him, how to teach him English. And that's fun. So, but we get a lot of barky dogs, a lot of reactivity.
Right.
And you might be surprised to know that we actually start those clients off with our reactive Rover class, which takes place on Zoom.
Wow. See?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Because you can imagine, you know, six barky dogs in one room is not going to go well. So
no, exactly.
They learn their foundation skills at home first in their living room with their parents, and then we take it to the streets.
And then you must deal with other problem dogs, dogs that are biting, chewing, doing destructive things, dangerous things, or I can't control them as I'm walking. It's always pulling at the leash and jumping at people and scaring everybody.
And we work with aggression cases. So even, you know, dogs that have bite histories and are in trouble with the city administration, you know,
we're going to find you. We're going to take your dog and put it down here or something if something isn't done here.
They'll mandate training and our reactive Rover class will qualify for that, and then we do private training afterward.
Yeah, people don't realize. Yeah, the courts will mandate it. Mm-hmm. If your dog bites somebody, they don't just go sorry. They're gonna insist that you do something, or they will. I don't know if they can take the dog away, but I believe at some point they can take the dog away.
Yeah, especially if you don't comply. So they'll mandate training, and again, it's an unregulated industry. So whether or not that training will be helpful is hard to know.
Are there many or any doing what you do? Are you a cutting edge new breed of dog trainers?
Well, we have a pretty big community, even in Orange County specifically. There are the dog trainers that take education more seriously than the average.
And how do I know? And picking a dog trainer, if they don't come to you, we're all going to say go to Click Start Dog Training Academy in Lake Forest. Done. But if they don't, can't, won't, whatever, how do you pick a dog trainer? How would you suggest people, or people listening in other parts of the country, tell me to go get a dog trainer?
There's a few different things to think about. One, we want to prioritize education, so you can search for a certified dog trainer.
Where do they get certified? By what?
There are many different organizations. The Certification Council for Professional Dog Trainers.
So okay.
The trainer will have the abbreviation CPDT.
Okay.
After their initials or after their name. There's the Karen Pryor Academy, so they would have the initials KPA after their name. There's the Animal Behavior College, ABC. There's the IAABC. There's a bunch.
So see that they've gotten some training.
Yeah.
Don't just say that they put a shingle out and said, I now
exactly
train dogs.
And that's just one priority. And then you also want to see that their experience, that they have kind of a history of working behind
and maybe
them.
Specifically with what your problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're real good at training how to walk a dog or control a dog, but maybe they're not good at, I don't know, some other aspect of whatever the dog's behavior is that you're trying to
ideally fix. They have a Google page or a Yelp page, and they have some reviews up, and you know, you can read a little bit about those their clients and how happy they are.
Okay. Well, I hear a lot of people are happy. How long have you been open in Lake Forest?
Since December 2023.
How's it going?
It's great. Yeah, it was the first month or two were scary, like you were saying, all the new overhead. We have a big team, too. We have a team of 8 trainers.
Oh, my. Wow.
Yeah, so, and they all, you know, things went from very piecemeal work to now steady stream of hours. So payroll took a big, big jump. And then all the other expenses that come along for the ride, too. So
did the SVDC help you work through a business plan and budgeting and all the rest of this stuff, too? Not just finding a location or negotiating a lease?
Yeah, Carrie was there through it all. So the business plan came first, and that went through many different revisions. That mm-hmm. was the piece that Liv and I had been working on since 2018.
Right.
And that was what, you know, some of the other consultants were
doubting.
Expressing doubt in. Yeah, exactly.
This isn't going to work.
Yeah. And we had numbers crunched, you know, projections, everything.
What do we charge? How many classes? How many people? How often? How do we advertise? How mm-hmm. do we market this thing?
I can't even tell you how many hours I worked between, like you said, to just setting the space up, all of the improvements.
How does it flow? Mm-hmm. How does it function in the room? How do you do all this?
Yep.
Yeah,
so it was a lot of physical labor, a lot of mental labor, and even some emotional labor. It was exhausting.
Yeah.
But now we're open and running, and it's...
I had a bar years ago, and we thought, oh, this would be fun. We're Irish. We love to go out and drink, and we'll just have our friends over, and it'll be easy. What a freaking nightmare it was here.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. A million agencies I never heard of. A million things that can go wrong. Things broke all the time,
mm-hmm.
especially with alcohol. And you know, what can go wrong? People come and drink too much every night here. It was a real learning curve. It's not just people think opening a business, particularly those kind of, I want to open a cookie store. I want to open mm-hmm. a dog training. I want to open a bar. Won't this be fun? I love dogs. I love going to a bar. Yeah, it's a business.
Yep. That's one thing I can say confidently is that we thought through the steps. We took our time. There were even some trainers that we knew in other states that had opened up brick and mortars a lot faster than we did, and it made us feel a little bit behind, but California is tricky. And
lots of rules, lots of regulations. Are you regulated in any way, shape, or form? Do you have to have permits or anything to do this stuff?
Well,
animals on on the premises and stuff?
I think that's a good point, because for a while we didn't know, you know, what we needed. And they didn't know what we needed, because we're kind of a gray area.
And the landlord doesn't know.
Yeah, nobody knows. So we would talk to the cities and they'd say, well, are you a daycare? No. Are you boarding? No.
Yeah,
are you a vet? No. Are you a groomer? No. Well, what are you? And we ended up with enough kind of communicating about what we do, we ended up getting classified as a pet store, because we only have, you know, up to 6 dogs in the room at a time, and they're on leash and they have their parents with them. So it's not a boarding situation.
No, they're their owners. No, they're parents.
We're testing out some new phrases there. Guardians.
Guardians. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we think, we got lucky that we got classified that way, or maybe not lucky. It really came down to communicating.
Communicate, because they don't know many times. So it's easy to get mislabeled.
Yes, classified.
And then that leads to all sorts of different...
That can be a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, how much size, how often, how...
The conditional use permits, they're expensive.
Yeah, so do you have a conditional use permit for this?
No, we didn't need one.
See, that's huge, because a conditional use permit, that's what we had for a bar. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, you couldn't just... A shoe store, you can go and pay the rent and put the shoes up and start doing business. Conditional use permit, they put conditions on it, and you have to go through a whole other hearing process. And they can revoke the conditions if you don't do it, and then you're out of business.
And
you
takes like 6 months.
And you still and lots of money and fees and everything and consultants to go through all this stuff here and plans, and you got to show all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you've built the business. They say, we're taking the condition back.
Yeah.
Well, I still got the rent. Yeah, but you can't do what you said to do because you violated your conditions. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. See, folks, a lot harder than you think. That's why you should go check out the Orange County Inland Empire, SBDC. Go look them up. They sponsor the show. We bring in people like Cassie all the time, and they all tell the same story. It ain't as easy as you think, folks. There's a lot of depth and complexities to do this. But if you do it right, you can end up owning your dream, right? Well, that sounds like you guys did.
Yeah.
All right. Any final words? Any final thoughts? Here, we did a shout-out to Carrie. One more time, Carrie Armstrong, one of the many consultants here at the SBDC. What's the next step? Do you envision opening more of these? Is this a franchise? Is this a multi-unit location? Are we going to go big and see these nationwide? Or is this just you're happy where you're at here for now?
I think there is the possibility of more locations, definitely, especially once we feel like we have a formula.
Yeah, we got investor
formula.
Types that listen to this all the time. They call you and say, hey, if this works, let's go. This would be a... This is now... We had a cookie franchise in here the other day. Who knows that you could franchise making cookies? But there's a lot of cookie franchises out there now. Why not dog training franchises or
Why
whatever?
Not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. How do they get in touch with you? What's the website? Give us some information on how to track you down if they want to hear more or find out about your services here. We'll start with a website.
So the website is clickstartdogacademy.com.
Click Start Dog Academy.
Yeah, just Click Start Dog Academy.
But the business is Click Start Dog Training Academy.
Yep.
Okay. Any reason why you didn't put it all in there? Just too long or couldn't get it?
Too long. Yeah. Yep.
All right. So, ClickStartDogAcademy.com. Go check that out. The location is where? In Lake Forest?
Yep. On Lake Forest, on El Toro.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. Square
Heart
one there.
Heart of Lake Forest.
Heart
yep.
of Lake Forest. Anything mm-hmm. around El Toro there.
Yep.
And you have classes, even including some online classes and other things that people can start with.
Yes.
Interesting.
And private training. We do, we're very active on Instagram, so check us out on Instagram, Click Start.
And will you still come out? You got some very affluent people in the area. They want you to come to the house.
We still do in-home. Yeah. Absolutely.
Want you to come to my house and see what the dog's doing and work with me here and all that.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you came here and worked with us because I have a better understanding. I'm going to sit up straighter. I'm going to pay attention. I'll stop chewing in the microphone here. And I thank you for joining us. What a great story. Once again, you know, an entrepreneurial success here. We always love to hear that. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
As we conclude another episode of the Profit Talks podcast, we hope we've empowered your entrepreneurial spirit. Reach out to us to connect with our experts, and let's take your business to the next level. Keep those dreams alive, keep pushing forward, and stay tuned for more. And if you liked what you heard in today's podcast and you want your business to reach new heights, just contact us at profittalkspodcast.org or call us at 1-800-616-7232. That's 1-800-616-7232. So until next time, keep thriving.